behalf of our pastor and the elders, welcome those who are online as well. We welcome you. At this time, we're going to allow those fifth grade and below to go and take their role in the back. We will be praying for y'all. As y'all do your business back there, y'all pray for us as we do our business in here. We're going to be in John chapter 7. And I want to, before it's over with today, unless the Lord does something midstream here, you're going to hear a little bit of some transparency. I'm a very transparent individual. My wife accuses me of being a little bit too transparent sometimes, and so if I make you a little bit uncomfortable because of some stuff, I'm sorry. That's not my intention. My intention is to let the Lord do what He does through me, and hopefully it spills out on some other folks as well. So we're going to get in the Word. What we're going to be talking about today is the invitation. There's multiple, and I don't want to step too far into what we're going to talk about deeper into it, but there's multiple invitations in Scripture. But we're going to talk about one, to me, the one of the primary invitations that the Lord gives us in the book of John today. And it's, with as it is with any invitation, we have to respond to the invitation. And not responding to the invitation is responding to the invitation. So be mindful of that as we talk through this. And so I just want to get your head around the idea of we've been invited to the Lord. Not only has He invited us, He's made the provisions for us to come. Amen. And the Word tells us that He's not only has He done that, but He's provided a table for us to come and partake of what He has for us in His presence, which is the most important part of that is it's in His presence. You know, I can go places today where I spent time with my dad and my mom, but they're no longer there. And those places, though they have special connections to my heart, the people who I want to see is not there. And I think it's important for us to know that the Lord wants to meet us regularly. He, as we talked about in our Bible reading this morning, we are made for fellowship. We are made for relationship. And most importantly, we're made for a relationship with Him. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you ever think about the fact that He indwells you and how often He shows up even within our own being and He's alone because we don't choose to spend time with Him. So as we get into this morning, this is the approach that we're going to take as we look through this. So let's go ahead and get into it. If you want to stand with us, turn to John chapter 7. We're going to begin in verse 37 and through 39. It says, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and He cried out, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. The one who believes in Me, as the Scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.' But He said this in reference to the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Let's pray. Father God, we invite You to be here with us. Not that we have to invite You, Lord. You were here before we got here. And so, Father, but we invite You to come and take charge of our service. And Lord, take charge of the Word that goes out. Father, Your Holy Spirit is the one who inspired it. He is the one who teaches it. He is the one who puts it into our heart. And He is the one that brings fruit from it. And so, Father God, this morning I pray as we open up Your Word, dear Lord, that we would hear from You. Father, I pray that as we're here this morning, Lord, everything that we do and say will be pleasing to You. That when we're done with this time together, Lord, that You would look down and You would be pleased with what went on here. So, Father, I pray, dear Lord, we'd have hearts to hear. Father, we have minds that are attentive, that we know that we're in Your presence and we're here to hear from You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, as we get into this, right off the bat, we're going to try to work through this a little bit by little bit. And so you'll be start seeing some things that's up there. But when it says the last day of the great day of the feast, or the last day, the great day of the feast, it's referring to the Feast of Tabernacles, or it's also called the Feast of Booths. And it's a time in which, if you want to go back and read, it's in Leviticus 23 is where it starts talking about this. And it's some information or some direction that the Lord gave Moses to give to the people for them to go and to celebrate their time in the wilderness. When they left Egypt into the time before they got into the promised land, they're there and they're out there because of their disobedience, because of the lack of faith. They were in the wilderness or in the desert for this period of time. And so now fast forward to the New Testament time, and they are remembering this time there. And I think it's always important for us to remember where we came from. It's important to remember where God has brought us from and to celebrate those things that He's brought us from as well. But it was called the Festival of Booths sometimes because they would literally make huts out of branches and trees and limbs and things like this, and that they, for 7 days, they would come together and they would do this. So in my mind, it's they went camping for 7 days. And they went all out there, and they were there, and they were doing their thing. And every day, one of the things that would happen during this service, and this is information that we have from the Scripture, but it's also information we have from extra biblical writings, as well as not necessarily believers, but someone like Josephus, who wasn't a believer. And we're told that the way this festival unrolled during Jesus' day is that they would, a priest every day of this, and this always happened in October. I think it began around October the 15th and it ran through October the 22nd. And they would go, and every day the priest would go, and he would walk down to the Pool of Siloam. And as he got down there, he would draw up a pitcher of water, and then he would walk back up in procession up to the temple and get to the altar, and they would pour the water out on that. And as they poured the water out on that, they would quote a passage of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. And they would say, "Therefore you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation." And they did this every day. Now this is where some writers, some commentators, some theologians say this is what they did, and some say this is what they did. But some say they quoted that passage every day, including the last day. Some says that on the last day of this celebration or this feast is what they would do, is they would come in and the priest would do the same thing he did, but as he came back up, he wouldn't just go straight to the altar, but he would walk around it seven times. And then after that seventh time, he would pour the water out, and then they would quote from Isaiah 44 in verse 3. And he says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams of dry ground, and I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." Now, why is that important? It's important because of what Jesus is fixing to say. And why did they do what they did? Well, the seventh day was a day of recognition, if you will. The marching around of seven times was to commemorate the walking around in Jericho. For it was when they walked around Jericho and Jericho was conquered, if you will, it was from that point on that they no longer was, it put an end to the wilderness experience. And so they did this every year. Every year was a thing. And so this was the last day of the event. And so this was fixing to unfold. Whether they just quoted from Isaiah 12, 3, or whether it was per what other people say, and they went into Isaiah 44, verse 3, this is what they were doing. And then Jesus comes up and it says, "And Jesus stood and he cried out." Now think, this is not just a room like our size. This was hundreds of thousands of people that was most likely gathered there in this forum. And they didn't have PA systems, they didn't have clickers, they didn't have all this kind of stuff. So it says, "And Jesus stood up and he cried out." Standing up was going to gather people's attention, and then he cried out. But this is where the invitation happens, and we'll come back to this in a second. But he says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Now you see why it makes a difference that we know a little bit of the setting about why Jesus, what Jesus said, when Jesus said what he said. Because they were celebrating what? They were celebrating God taking care of them while they were on the journey, before they got into the promised land. What was one of the things that happened during that time? Water from a rock. That's when God gave them water from a rock. That's when God gave them provision. Water is always about provision. Water is always about a satisfaction. Water is always about us getting the things that we need. It's always connected to, when it's spiritual things, it's always connected to a thirst. And then the water satisfying that thirst. And so Jesus stands up and he makes this comment. Well, this is the invitation. This is where the title comes from, is because the invitation is if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Let's go back. This invitation, and there's others, like I said at the very beginning, invitations like come and see, come and dine, come and take up your cross, come and follow me. Many passages throughout Scripture about him inviting. But this one, he's saying, look, it's a general. It's not just to the elite. It's not just to the spiritually informed. It's an open invitation to all. In the same way, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that whosoever will. This is, if anyone, he says, that's whether it's me, that's whether it's you, that's whether if it's somebody in Ethiopia or whether it's somebody in Paraguay. It's anyone who comes, anyone who recognizes there's a thirst, come and I'll make sure there's satisfaction that's there. So, what does it mean to thirst? Thirst equals acknowledging a need. We come to the place of the invitation. He says, look, if anyone is thirsty. This morning, the question comes is, are you thirsty? We know what it is to thirst. We know what it is to crave. In fact, there's a passage in Peter where it says, as newborn babes crave pure spiritual milk, so we should crave the Word. We know it. Sometimes we have a thirst for a certain beverage. My wife loves Dr. Pepper. She's the Dr. Pepper inside and out. I've been on nothing but water drinking for several weeks now. And every so often, I get some, just a little shot, if you will, of some pink lemonade out of the fridge because I want something that tastes a little different than the water. So we know what it is to want something, to thirst something. If we're out in the yard working or whatever, we have an innate idea. But to thirst means we recognize there's a need. In a thirst, it means we recognize there's something that's missing that we want. But it's a, first and foremost, it's acknowledging. I'm acknowledging that something's missing. I'm acknowledging that I need have a need. And it's also acknowledging that there's something that's outside of me that is my need. It's not really, you know, if it's, there's certain things that our body takes care of it by itself. You know, you don't even think about it. It happens. It does what it does. But then the body, there's things where it says, okay, I'm thirsty. Body can't get that by itself. We have to come to the place of acknowledging we have a need. And there's not just a physical thirst, but there's a spiritual thirst. And that's where Jesus is getting to here. This is not just about, hey, I can provide for you the water from a rock. But he's saying, I can provide for you a water, a thirst-quenching water that will always satisfy. Remember what he told the woman at the well? He said, this water, you drink from it, you're going to get thirsty again. But the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. But first, we got to come to the acknowledgement of it. Second, he says, come. Come is one of the most basic words in our language. And it simply means to approach. And it means here, he's saying, look, approach the answer. Approach, you know, you want something to drink. For me at my house, I'll go, I'll get a glass out of the cabinet, and I'll go and I'll put it under the attachment on the refrigerator, push the button, and out comes. So here I'm approaching. I'm thirsty, I recognize there's a need, and then I approach it to help satisfy that need. And here there's a little bit of a connection to the word repent here, when we talk about it from a spiritual perspective, because repenting is turning from where we were and turning to Jesus. And here, when we recognize there's a thirst, so now I'm turning to get the water. I'm turning to meet that need. But that's the second part of the invitation. First, we got to acknowledge. Now we got to approach it. And then the third thing, we've got to appropriate the provision. We got to appropriate. In other words, I can take this water, and I got to drink water on a regular basis. I've had some things go on in my saliva gland, and my mouth gets dry. So that's why I got to drink water while I'm up here. But if I have the water right here, and I'm needing it, and my mouth gets dry, and I'm thirsty, and I need it, and it's right there, I can come over here, and I can pick it up, and I can unscrew it, and all this kind of stuff. But if I don't appropriate it, if I don't take it in, if I don't drink it, it's not going to do me any good. And let me tell you, I have been at church many times over, thirsting spiritually, in need of a satisfying drink of what the Lord has to offer, and not partake of what He puts before me. Whether it's through worshiping through song, or whether it's through worshiping through giving, or whether it's through worshiping through the Word, I've been there, I've done that. I've preached in that space and not appropriated the very thing that I was speaking to other people about. The invitation is, thirsty, come and drink. That's the invitation. That's where it comes from. And He says, those who do this, these are the ones who believe in Me. Now that's a word. Where come is a very simple word. It's a very understood word. Believe is one of the ones that's misunderstood. Because we can say we believe something all we want to, but belief, there's action in the word belief. It's not something that I can say I just believe. Just because I say it, I believe it. No, to really believe something means there's action to it. So when we think about this, what is it actually to believe? Well, there's a couple of different ways I want to express this. You've got belief and you've got faith. Those things, to some degree, go those two words go hand in hand. But the Bible says that even the demons believe. But and demons go to church. Demons stand in the pulpit. All right? Demons believe. But the belief that Jesus is talking about here when He says those who thirst and come and drink, those who believe in Me, what He's saying is those who put their faith in Me, those who do what I tell them to do, those who follow Me, those who come and partake and live life the way I want them to live it, those are the ones who believe or who have faith in Me. There's a difference. So you have three kinds of faith. You have false faith. False faith are those people who they say they believe. There may be some in here. We may have family members. I have a family member who to this very day, he's 60 years old now, this very day he'll tell you that he's a Baptist. He's been in church to be married. And I don't think any other time other than that. But if somebody knocks on his door, he's a Baptist. All right? And he believes in God. He believes in Jesus. But he hasn't put his faith in Jesus. And so that's a false faith. The false faith is a faith that it's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to get you anywhere. Then there's a firm faith. A firm faith is that faith that you have come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you've repented of your sins, you've given your life over to Him, the Holy Spirit has come in you, and the Holy Spirit has regenerated you, the Holy Spirit has sealed you until the day of redemption. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're rock solid, you know who you are, you know you belong to Him, you're firm in your faith. Thank you. But then there's another kind of faith, and this is where I want to sort of get into pretty good here today, is a flowing faith. Is a flowing faith. And that flowing faith is one that if you see something that's flowing, if you plug up your drain on your kitchen sink and you turn the faucet on and it runs, it's eventually going to fill up, right? And then when it fills up, what's it going to do? It's going to overflow. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And He goes on, well, let's go. I'm going to give you a word picture here. This is a lake over at Arabian Mountain. I've been hiking these trails over here for several years now, and this is a lake. There's a quarry years and years and years ago. There used to be a quarry over there, but this is a lake, and it's a beautiful lake and everything, but when it gets full to overflowing, this is what you get. And 2 weeks ago, I hiked this trail, and this picture was taken from it 2 weeks ago. And that lake that you just saw overflowed, and it's beautiful, and we're walking in this, and even approaching this, you could be a good 100 yards from it. Because of how overflowing it was, you could hear it. Do you know that if you're full of the Holy Spirit, people can hear you coming? All right, you ever had somebody come into the room, and it's one of those people? It's one of those people. When you get full of the Holy Spirit, you get labeled one of those people. And they hear you coming. All right, and they go to want to do something different. And those who don't want none of you, they don't want you to spill over on them, they're going to leave your presence because they don't want to be overflowed on top of. So you could hear this from a distance. And then a little bit downstream, what's it doing? It's overflowing, and the creek bank is full, and it goes, and it does its thing, and it's going everywhere. All right, I wish I'd have known this past week when I walked it. I didn't, so I didn't take a picture of it. When we walked it this past week, no waterfall. You couldn't hear it. The lake was still there. It was still firmly there, right? Still firmly there. Water wasn't going nowhere, but it was no longer overflowing. And you know what? We walked in that dry bed. That creek bed was dry. In 1 week, that creek bed was dry. Why? No rain. No rain. Have you ever sang that song, Holy Spirit, rain down on me? How many of us need some rain right now? We need some rain on our job. We need some rain in our marriage. We need some rain in our finances. We need some rain in our relationships. We need the Holy Spirit. We don't need to just be firm. We need to be flowing. And so when I came to this passage of Scripture, and read, and it says, and as the Scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I read this, and I just bowed my head. And I said, Lord, this is not descriptive of my life. Lord, there's no river flowing out of me. Lord, there, and if I'm being honest, Lord, I don't even feel thirsty right now. And I began to pray and I began to cry and I'm like, Lord, this hasn't been this way all my life. There's been seasons in my life where there was a flow. There's seasons of my life where when I walked into a room, you used me immediately. Lord, there's been a season in my life where when people came to me, there was never a question. Lord, there's been seasons in my life where you was flowing in my life to the point of where I didn't second guess my decisions because I knew I was in contact with you. Lord, my life is empty and there is no flow. And so my question for us this morning is, would you describe your current Christian experience, your current walk, as having rivers of living water flowing out of you? You see, this is the invitation. And this isn't just for, again, for the spiritually elite. This is something that's available to each and every one of us. I've talked to other people since this happened to me, and it's being echoed in their lives. They're saying the same thing. And as I continue to think through this and continue to pray through this, I got a picture in my head. You know, there's someone today in a hospital, in an ICU somewhere. Health-wise, living-wise, there's life in their body. They're alive. But they're not here. They're alive, but they're not here. And it dawned on me, I was that one spiritually. I was alive. I was firm in my faith, but I was on a machine. I was drawing breath, but there was really no life in me, much less an abundant life in me. And when I read that passage, the Holy Spirit shook me. And I had a choice. I could listen to Him and respond to Him, or I could just turn and go, you know what? I'm firm in my faith. But you see, part of what God wants for us isn't just to get us to heaven. Part of what God wants for us is to get heaven in us. And there's a difference between what God does for us at salvation as believers. Romans chapter 8 tells us that without the Spirit, we do not belong to Him. We're not saved if we don't have the Spirit. When we become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, He comes in us. We're baptized into the Spirit. We are regenerated by the Spirit, and we are sealed by the Spirit of the Lord. That's all the work He does. He does all that. We're bystanders in that. He simply does that for us. But in order to have this rivers of living water flowing out of us, it requires us to recognize the need. It requires us to come to the place of coming to Him and then to appropriate that which He has provided for us. And I sat down at the table with my wife and I said, you know what? I'm sick of this way. I'm sick of being in this place. I want to have a peace that passes all understandings. I want to have a confidence in walking forward in the things of which the Lord wants us to do. I don't want the things that have tripped us up and knocked us down. It seems like in our season of life, it was almost like one thing after another. We was rolling and rolling. Every time we'd stand up, another wave would hit and would knock us down again. And every time those kind of things happened, it would take the wind out of my sails again. And I would be empty again. And here recently, some things have started happening again. And my wife came and she said, I want to ask you a question. And I said, okay. She said, how are you doing? She said, in this place that you are, she said, how are you doing now that these waves are coming? I said, I'm good. I'm good. Why? Because I recognized my thirst. Amen. And because I had went to Him. Yes. And I had partaken of that which He so graciously offered. We can't move? Can we move? And we'll just go. If it goes, it goes. If it clicks, just let me know. So, in so doing this, and we've come to this place, is the question comes now is, how? What do we do? Thank you. It says, but this He said in reference to the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, but Jesus, because Jesus was not yet glorified. See, I really think John did this, gave us a commentary on here, because he wanted to make sure that we understood that this rivers of flowing water wasn't something we did, it was something that the Spirit did. In fact, it's not just what the Spirit does, He is the flow. He is the flow. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. He loves you. He is with you. He desires to bless you. He desires to strengthen you. He desires to do all these things. He, the Holy Spirit, is a comforter, an intercessor, the helper, the advocate, the counselor, the teacher. He convicts us. He convinces us. He empowers us. He produces fruit in us. And almost all important, He seals us. These are the things that He does for us. This is the availability that He has for us. Though the scripture was written by over 40 men, the Holy Spirit was the one who inspired it. He is the one who wrote it. We're not going to be able to understand it if it's not through Him. I love my wife. My wife cannot write. And she'll give me a list of groceries or a list of stuff to do. And I have to go to her and I say, "Can you read this? Tell me what this says." Sort of the same way it is with the Holy Spirit. There's stuff in the Holy Spirit, in this thing that, oh my goodness. We're in Genesis 8 this morning, and it's like, oh goodness. Holy Spirit, help. He's the one who's inspired it. He's the one that gives it. Did you know that this morning, if you're here and you're not a believer, the Holy Spirit is with you? He's the one that's convicting you. He's the one that's drawing you. In fact, He's probably the reason why you're here this morning. Amen. Unless you're here as a spy. This morning, if you're here and you're a believer, the Holy Spirit's been with you the whole time. In the Old Testament, He came on assignment. The Bible tells us in Genesis that Joseph was full of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Exodus Moses was full of the Holy Spirit. He tells us in Joshua tells us that Joshua was full of the Holy Spirit. He came on assignment. The Holy Spirit came on assignment, but He's with us. When Jesus ascended and the Father sent the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is here. But He's, as a believer, He's in us. But that's not the end of the story. That's not all of it. What does He want for us? He wants us to be filled. What does He want us to be filled? He wants to be filled to overflowing. Amen. And see, it's not just, okay, where are you getting this from? Well, I think there's three things when we talk about the Holy Spirit coming into our life. There's a whole lot more, but we're going to talk about three this morning. One, first and foremost, is salvation. And again, I've already shared with you the things that He did, that the regeneration and the sealing and the baptism, all that kind of stuff He did. But then the second thing is in Ephesians 5:18, we're told, don't be drunk with wine, for this leads to dispensation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Y'all, that's a command. That's not if you want some more. That's not if you need it. That's a command to be filled. Why? Because that's what He wants of us. What does that mean? Why did Paul write it that way? Why did the Holy Spirit lead him to write it that way? He says, because if I'm going to get drunk with wine, I have to put myself in a position to get drunk with wine. I have to go somewhere. I have to buy something. I have to open it. I have to put it to my mouth. Again, that's that appropriation of it. What he's saying here is we need to put ourselves in the position to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's things that, according to the Word, can quench the Spirit in 1 Thessalonians. In Ephesians, he tells us that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Those two things in is not putting ourselves in a place to be filled with the Spirit. And it's a continuation. It's not a here and there and whenever. It's a continuation to continually be filled. He says, look, he says, I don't want you to be a sponge that everything I give you, you just absorb. No, he wants us to, we're not a reservoir. We're to be, what the Holy Spirit wants to do is to free flow in our life. So that it's about His life. It's not us trying to line up our life with His. Galatians 2:20 says, for I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Christ in us is who? The Holy Spirit. When Jesus ascended, He went to the right hand of the Father. So the Holy Spirit is His advocate here. He is our connection to Jesus here. He is our connection to the Father here. And He says, be filled. And the way I see this in my mind, and everybody's not going to agree with this, but you got to just give me some leeway here. Is it that, you know, if I want to take my cup and put it under the faucet and turn the faucet on, you know, the cup can be outside the sink and my cup is with the water. I can put it in the sink and I can turn the faucet on and water goes in my cup. But then if I leave it running, as we've already determined, that if I leave it under there, it's going to overflow. Do you realize that we have the ability to turn the tap of the Holy Spirit off in our life? Look, we can buy a boat, a sailboat, and we can cast the sails, and we can be in the water, and we can have our life jacket on, and we can do all the training we want to, and all this kind of stuff, and be ready to set sail. And if the wind don't blow, we're not going anywhere. But you know what? If the Holy Spirit is the wind, He wants to be pursued. Yeah, absolutely, He does. But He's not going to be pushed anywhere. And we can't use Him for our amusement and our agenda. It's His agenda. And if He's going to do anything, He's going to do it because it's by His approval and it's by His power. Amen. That He's going to do it. But He can be desiring to move in our life, and I believe this happens every day, that He can be desiring to move in our life, and we can turn the faucet off and then not move in our life. And if we could hypothetically walk around with that cup and walk around with that faucet flowing, if I was to walk over here and I've got that faucet flowing and I've got my cup in my hand and I come over here and I stand next to Pastor, guess what's going to happen? He's going to get wet because it's overflowing on him. And if he stays there too long, he's going to walk away and he's going to stand next to somebody and it's going to drip on them. He desires to fill us, to overflow us, and to do what he wants to do downstream from us. But it's not going to happen if we're not first and foremost filled with him. Romans 8:7 says that a mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. A mind set on the Spirit. When you get up in the morning, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? A wave hits you and knocks you down. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Bad news comes. Holy Spirit, what you want me to do? Blessings come. Holy Spirit, what you want me to do? It's a mindset on Him. But if we're honest, specifically if we're the dude laying in the hospital spiritually, our mind's not on Him. Our mind's not on Him. We're out in the world. Our mind, that's what Pastor talked about last week when he's talking about the idols. Our mind's not set on the things of the Lord. And even when you're reading in Scripture in the Gospels, when we're in Matthew right now, Jesus is talking to the disciples who at this point do not have the Holy Spirit in them. And he's talking to them. And as he's talking to them, they're thinking about earthly things. And he has to correct them and says, no, I'm not talking about earthly things. I'm talking about heavenly things. Before, and it's not you think, well, you know, if I could just get some better teaching, if I could just get this, if I could just get that, then everything would be okay. You can't get any better teaching than Jesus. Amen. And Peter continuously misunderstood what Jesus was saying. Continuously. And then he denied the Lord. But then on Pentecost, the same one that cursed a teenage girl and denied the Lord, stood before those same people and preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the world began to turn upside down. Why? Because no longer was the Spirit around them. The Spirit was in them. And they overflowed. And all through Acts, you can read, and this one was full of the Holy Spirit. And this one was filled with the Holy Spirit. And this one was filled with the Holy Spirit. The same ones that was filled back here at Pentecost. Well, why is that? Why does the Holy Spirit tell us that they were filled again? Because there was in between times where they were not. Were they saved? Yes. Was the Spirit in them? Yes. But there's a difference between a firm faith and a flowing faith. And I need us to get that. You can be firm all you want to. I'm heaven bound. I got my ticket. I'm going to be with Him in glory. Great, wonderful. Bring some heaven down here. Let the Holy Spirit fill your life and flow in faith. Let's have a flow in faith in what He wants and what He wants to do in our life. The third thing is this, is we need to ask. And until Pastor and I sat down and we talked about this, because you know what, it's been a month now almost, right? And we're talking about this, and I said, you know what, I born and raised Baptist, y'all. I didn't know, I've taught this passage before, but it never dawned on me like this. You can ask for the Holy Spirit. But doesn't the Bible say that He gives, the Holy Spirit gives the gifts according to His will? Yes. But this passage in Luke chapter 11 is a passage where Jesus has been asked by the disciples, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus gives a parable about a dude who's gone to bed already. His kids are in the bed with him. Everybody's in the bed. His neighbor's got somebody that comes at midnight and desires for some bread. And so he goes and knocks on the door of the neighbor. The neighbor's like, we're in the bed already. And the guy keeps knocking and keeps knocking and keeps knocking. And finally he gets up and he gives him the bread. And Jesus says, and that's what we need to do, to be persistent. And then he goes on here in Luke chapter 11. And what he's saying here is this. He says, look, he says, those of you who are fathers, if your son was to ask for bread, would you give them a snake? Or if he was to ask for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? And it's like, no. Then how much more would your heavenly Father give the Spirit to those who ask? So I'm in the business of asking. Amen. I'm in the business of asking. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I can't do this on my own. I need you. This situation is coming. This situation is coming. I need you, Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to ask. We're getting close. The immediate response, we're not going to spend a lot of time right here, but the immediate response, if you go on into the passage, on into the chapter, you find this. You have division happens. There's a division that happens after Jesus does this. You've got those people who really believe. They've got genuine faith. You've got people who didn't believe. The same people who wasn't believing before. They were just everything that came out. Oh, no, this can't be. This can't be. Then you got those who are confused. You got temple priests who come, supposed to be arresting Jesus, and Jesus begins to speak, and they go back empty-handed, and the priests are like, well, where's he at? And they're like, we've never heard anybody speak like this dude. We couldn't get him. And so they're confused. Why are they confused? Because they're hearing what the world has to say about him. But then they hear him. Let me tell you what. We do a lot of listening to what the world has to say. And not enough listening about him. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about these temple guards. We don't know if they became believers or not. But at this point, I'm calling them confused. And then you have others who were moving closer and closer to Jesus. In verse 50, Nicodemus is mentioned again. Nicodemus, that's where John 3:16 comes from. When Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night questioning him, Jesus says, you must be born again. Then he shows up, Nicodemus shows up right here, and he's trying to defend Jesus right here. And then you find him after the crucifixion, he's gathering up oil and spices and things like that for Jesus' burial. You have those people who are in process. This morning, we probably got one of each one of those in this room at least. What's the response to your invitation? Today's invitation. We cannot be full of the Holy Spirit and full of ourselves at the same time. We can't be clinging to idols like Pastor spoke on last week and be holding on to Jesus. Don't work. Can't do both. This is the invitation. Let's pray. Amen. Father God, we come to you this morning and We thank you, Lord, for your word. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for what you have shown me in my own life. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that each one of us here this morning would hear your invitation. And Lord, that we would respond to it in a way that is pleasing to you. Holy Spirit, this morning, you have reminded us that Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come and drink. So Lord, my prayer is this morning that we would allow you to search us. And as you say in Psalms 139, 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Holy Spirit, this is your place. This is your power. This is your time. This is your desire for our life. Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you would move in our midst. Lord, that you would move in our hearts. Lord, that you would bring conviction where conviction needs to be. Lord, that you would bring to a place of, that you would convince us where we need to be convinced. And Lord God, when we come to you, Lord, that we would experience that satisfaction of knowing that we're in your presence. Lord, we are your people, and we ask you to move in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would stand, as we do here, I think we got some folks to come down, and they'll be over here on this side. If you want someone to pray with you, they'll be over here to pray. Of course, the side over here, you can come up here and pray and spend time with the Lord and do business with him. If you want anybody to bother you, you're welcome to come and to this side. It doesn't matter where, it just matters that we do business with him today as he moves within your heart. Again, that verse in Isaiah 12, verse 3, he says, therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. He is that salvation. That's what he was saying. That's what he was saying. Visit the question, false faith, firm faith, flowing faith. There's nothing wrong with firm faith. It's just not the end. There's a flowing faith that's available. There's an abundant life that's available. It's not made available through dotting I's or crossing T's. It's not available because we preach. It's not available because we sing. It's only available when we position ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Parents, have you ever desired to give something to your children, but they had not positioned themselves in a place where you could, in good conscience, give it? If we can say yes to that, then we know how our Heavenly Father feels. He desires to give good gifts. But we need to position ourselves in a place Pastor, you have anything? Right, let's go ahead and close. We'll close. I want to thank you again for an opportunity to stand before you. And my prayer is that he is pleased with what we did here today as a body. And also that as you go, that you would desire to please him in what you do. And I pray the Holy Spirit would continue to speak to each one of us regarding the filling that he desires to do in our life. And there's so much in the Word of God about the Spirit of the Lord. We need to dive in and we need to know. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for how much you love us and you care for us. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the abundance of your blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that you sent, Lord, to bring fruit into our life, to teach us how to say no to the things of this world. Thank you, dear Lord, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that he helps us to stay on the right path. Thank you, dear Lord, for your Holy Spirit that he teaches us, dear Lord, what it is to experience you on a day in and day out basis. Father, my prayer is that we will all have our mind on the Holy Spirit. Be with us now as we go our separate ways. Lord, keep us safe as we travel. Lord, keep us safe throughout this week. And Lord, help us to remember, Lord, one another this week as we are all part of the body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.